Hey, you guys. Welcome back to the Listen Bitch podcast. This is the place where we talk about potential, the real kind. You know, I'm not about the fluffy Instagram bullshit where everything is inspirational quotes and highlight reels. The kind of potential that actually pressures you, that forces you to grow, forces you to confront yourself, and sometimes dismantles the version of success you thought you were chasing. And this is something I've noticed after years of coaching women, talking to people, building businesses, and living life in the arena. A lot of people think that the stress will disappear once they become successful. Success does not fix what's going on inside of you. Sometimes it actually exposes it. Unfortunately, I know that all too well. You could build the life you dreamed about and still feel like your nervous system is on high alert. You could still feel like your brain doesn't shut off, still feel like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And today's guest has lived that exact experience. I am Brandon Lynette, your host here today, and I'm excited to bring Ashley Crooks here to you guys. She built success fast, multi seven-figure businesses, traveling through more than 70 countries with her husband, living the kind of freedom that most people journal about and then work for decades. But internally, her mind never stopped. There was the constant analysis, anticipation, always bracing for impact. Instead of ignoring it, she asked a deeper question that a lot of people avoid. What if the success isn't the problem? What if the way I'm holding it is? This is what brings her today here to tell us about her story. And you guys congratulate her because she had a baby last year, her first baby. So add that on top of everything. Becoming a mom is like front and center. No pressure, no pressure at all. But Ashley, thank you so much for being on the Listen Bitch podcast today. I'm excited to hear your story.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So your origin story, first of all, how long have you been married?
So I've been with my husband since 2014, but we got married in 2023.
Okay, nice. And you guys just went traveling. How did that come about?
Yeah, so actually through our original business. So I had always dreamed of traveling the world and working from anywhere. And back after I met my husband, pretty much a month later, I had gotten, or once I started seeing my husband, we met a bit earlier, but I had gotten let go from a job. And I had always tried to figure out how in jobs I could actually take time away to travel. But, you know, if you leave corporate, you don't want to mess up your climb up the ladder or whatnot. So I didn't know when I could do that. But basically, we ended up starting to see each other, and I had gotten let go from a job. So the next month, I was like, all right, I hope this works out. We'll see. But I'm leaving to go to South America for 7 months. And so I basically went to South America for 7 months, ended up coming back in between, but then going to like Asia and Central America and traveling for a year. And while I was traveling, you know, this guy I barely knew, I would just imagine, like I didn't even know it was manifesting or visualizing at the time, but I would just picture myself with him, us traveling, working from anywhere, and having no idea what we were going to do or how we were going to do it. And so basically, I made that my goal when I got back to. Once we started actually seeing each other and being like, okay, this is a real thing, really to make it so that we could just travel and work from anywhere and really set up my business and found a business that allowed me to do that. And because of the fast success that I had, was able to really create that lifestyle.
Yeah, that's amazing. And how much fun is that, right? And especially, it's especially smart to start that before the babies, right?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Get that out of the way.
Yeah, we made sure. We traveled for 8 years before the baby, so we really got it in. I'm obsessed with traveling, and yeah, really, that's such a big part of my
And
life.
it definitely doesn't have to stop. It's just going to look different, you know?
Totally. He's
So.
9 months and he's about to be on his 11th flight. So he has traveled quite a bit. It's all been more so like statewide instead of international, but he's a good traveler. He's getting there.
Amazing. Okay, so let's get into the meat and potatoes, darling. Something I've noticed with high achievers is that they spend years chasing the goal, like the business, the money, the freedom, thinking that once they get there, the pressure will disappear. And they're some of the most unhappy people I've met because, like, you get there and you realize the pressure comes with you. But you built this incredible life pretty fast. What was the moment you realized something internally still wasn't settled?
Yeah, there were a few moments really. The biggest one, or the first one where I really realized it, is when I actually achieved everything I wanted. And we got to a point where in our business, we made an amount that was like way more than we had both made in corporate combined. And we were like, all right, let's do it. And so we were able to, put all of our stuff in storage and leave to travel the world. We booked a one-way ticket to Europe. And at that moment, it was just this big juxtaposition for me because it was like, I have everything I wanted, but I couldn't actually let any of it in. And I remember talking to my therapist at the time and being like, I can't feel grateful. I don't even know how to feel grateful for this. It just feels like so much pressure. Maybe I should just go soul searching in Bali instead and not do it. And it just kept growing from there. And, I started going on a trip and we went to Europe. And while we were traveling, we'd be in these amazing places. And while I was physically there, my mind was mentally a million miles away. And like you had said in the intro, constantly stressing, worrying about the next goal or what I could do wrong or, how to plan for whatever it was or what people would think. And ultimately, I started sharing with a friend that how I was feeling. And I just kept feeling like I should feel differently. I had all of this freedom and everything that anyone else would think would make you free. But that was the last thing that I felt. And she shared with me a piece of advice that really changed my life. And she said, "What got you here won't get you there." And that really hit home and showed me that the version of me that built the quick success, the hustle, the grind, everything that got me to where I am was exactly what was going to hold me back from my next level because one, I didn't even know if I wanted it anymore. And two, I wouldn't actually be able to enjoy it and let it in. So that's what really set me on the deeper inward journey.
Well, so some all of that you're saying is super powerful. I mean, you're basically living the life that you journaled about, that everybody journals about, right? But like you couldn't actually feel that. And I think a lot of people are going to hear that and say, like, how is that possible? They're to not connect that. What's actually happening internally during that time?
Yeah. So I think it's such a good point, and you kind of touched on this in the intro as well, is we think that success is going to cure us. We're told that it's going to be rainbows, butterflies, and unicorns, and we're going to be able to live these amazing lives. But what we don't realize is we're actually just pushing off all of the things we have to deal with until we hit this imaginary goal. And then we get there, and it's just like slapping us in the face of who we actually are. And now we actually can't outrun it anymore. And so for me, I didn't realize that, I knew how to chase a goal and I knew how to do that really, really well. But I didn't know how to actually receive the goal once I hit it or to actually celebrate and let it in and without figuring out a new goal. Or my nervous system was and this is what it would feel like for anyone wondering, like, was so just addicted to that constant stress and pressure. And that's all it knew. And so no matter what, even though everything was okay in my life, I mean, I was very safe. I had a great life. Like I was financially provided for all the things. It was constantly like just this constant stress, pressure. My date nights would turn into business meetings. And it was this feeling of I didn't even have the capacity to let it in and to hold it. And it felt like I remember thinking at one point, a few years later, even just all I wanted. When someone asked me, I was reading this book and it was like, what are your goals? And all I could come up with was inner peace.
Yeah, make it all
Because,
stop.
yeah, exactly. I was like, I'm going to go to a farm and just like go all away because you think, yeah, it's going to bring you all of this and success is really glorified. But a lot comes with success. There's so much pressure, there's so much you have to manage, and so many people you have to deal with. And you're really pushed to your greatest limits because entrepreneurship is really one of the greatest spiritual, like personal development journeys. And so all of your stuff comes up and you really have to deal with it. And that's really what comes with success. It's painted this glorified picture, but you have to be able to hold all of that good with all of the other stuff that comes up as well. And it can feel like a lot of tension in your body.
And that's why I'm not a fan of the highlight reels. I'm frustrated, and I tell my audience all the time, when you see that picture perfect life on Instagram, I promise you that person is struggling. Like I've seen it. I've seen it in the women I work with over and over and over. And I mean, I've experienced it with one of my biggest dreams coming true. I've never been more depressed. I wanted to be an author my whole life. I get a book published after it's out. most depressed I've ever been. And so what I really see, and you're kind of touching on this too, with just, you face yourself in this journey. Something I see again and again is that success has a funny way of revealing our deeper wiring. So like you guys, it's not going to hide your patterns, it's going to magnify them. So when you start really looking inward, what were some of the survival patterns that you realized you were just running on your default mode network?
So many. I feel like literally every single dysregulated nervous system state I had. And I had different patterns of, people pleasing. Like I wanted to make sure everyone was happy and everyone was okay. And, I also really wanted to get it right. And I had to make sure that I was doing it the right way or like really being a perfectionist in it. I was constantly overthinking, overanalyzing. Like it didn't feel safe for me to be in my body. I didn't even know what that was yet. Constantly like feeling like I had to control my business or that it was just never okay. Like, I could never actually allow myself to relax. I always felt like the other shoe was going to drop or something was going to go wrong. And I also couldn't even give myself credit. It felt like, even though I had achieved all of this, it couldn't actually, like, I couldn't identify with that identity of me that had. And so then there was this constant proving and not feeling enough and feeling like I was doing enough for people as well. And I constantly felt this like push and pull between, the life that I had created and the life that I was actually living. And it was just, it felt like I was, yeah, in constant survival, like always stressed out, always in pressure about what just all the things that could go wrong, that even could go right, that just were happening. And it was, I didn't even know about capacity or like what it really was to hold at the time, but it felt like so much. And what's interesting is that because I was feeling all this way, is my external world was mirroring it to me. And then all these conflicts and all these other things were happening. It felt like it was whack-a-mole in my business. And it was what I didn't realize at the time, but learned later is that was just because of me. And, it was just completely mirroring my nervous system state.
I think people just don't understand the importance of heart and brain coherence. Like everything kind of really has to align. Your brain and your heart have to be on the same page no matter what their perspective is. Or I call it tornado energy. You called it whack-a-mole. I think that's fabulous, but like it's tornado energy because you're in a spiral and you suck everything into it. Like you're just picking it all up. And I mean, that's an incredible point. And something you talk about is overriding your body in order to perform. And I mean, if we're being honest, high performers are really good at that. Ignoring stress, ignoring exhaustion, pushing through because the mission feels big.
Oh,
And
totally.
it's bigger than the signals that our body's sending us. So how did you start recognizing that part?
Yeah, I resonate with this so much. I ended up actually getting burnt out, which is really what led me to start to realize it. And my body just couldn't perform in the way that it was anymore. But I remember saying to one of my somatic coaches that I was working with, I was like, but mission mode, like it feels so good, like to feel needed, to feel like I'm doing stuff, to feel like I'm moving. And it was such a high that I didn't want to let it go, that sense of importance. And that took a lot of rewiring for me to do. And I think with so many high achievers, we are just so used to that go, go, go. I think even in one of your other podcasts where you talk about being busy all the time and how good that feels. And so we're just that's like a high, right? We're constantly moving with that. And we don't actually realize oftentimes until it's too late, we don't even know that we're overriding our body because we don't even feel it. We stay up in our heads and up in that hustle, up in that achievement. And so I think really oftentimes what ends up happening is we end up with a health issue or with something happening like that's, a big thing in our business that really causes us to wake up and be like, oh, I have been overriding myself this whole time. Okay, I need to shift it. And even when I did, I was working with different people who were trying to help me slow down. And I remember I would think I was slowing down in my business because I was giving time away and taking the break. And then but it wasn't really slowing down because I was traveling literally to like 20 countries in a month sometimes, like all these different places. So I was moving in these other areas of my life where my mind was constantly going and I was still stressed. And so we don't actually, even if we can conceptually understand like these concepts, to actually integrate them, it takes a complete rewiring for so many of us.
Yeah, especially because, like you're saying, I mean, basically, it's because we've made it our identity. Like
100%.
everybody just makes this hustle culture. It's just who I am. It's just how I work. It's just how I function. And then, yeah, the big event happens, right? Everybody gets a big event. You get a warning. And I call that God's like, get on your knees or I'm going to put you there. Like,
Totally.
stop right now. And I think a lot of women, especially, feel that pressure to hold everything together, the business, the identity, even if it's not healthy, and the expectations. And I feel like, and this is still one of my fatal flaws. My audience is going to roll their eyes, but I do think that it creates that hyper independence. You know, like we feel like we have to carry it all ourselves. Did you ever experience
Oh my
that?
gosh. That was one of my biggest ones. And I remember I would talk to some people and I would be like, how come no one is there for me? Like, why don't people understand that I need help too, or I need someone to reach out? And what I didn't realize is, yeah, because I was putting on this front, like it felt so safe to feel, to let people know that I could do it all and I could handle it. And it felt so scary to be vulnerable, or so scary to feel like I didn't know an answer. I felt like the only way I could get really the respect that I was craving was through that validation of like doing it all, of knowing everything, of just really showing up as that rock for people. And it really was so hard for me, like to. It was really scary to start to open up with that, but it was so hard for me to feel like when I needed people, they weren't there for me in this, in the way that I felt I needed. But what I didn't realize was that's because I was creating it, because I was letting everyone think that I'm so strong and so okay that I never needed any help. And so that was a big one.
Girl, did you get through that? Because I'm thinking we might need to talk after the show, because I still can't do it. It is still one of my fatal flaws, is like just to think I can't depend on anyone. It doesn't matter. Everybody sucks. People suck. And so yeah, I'm still kind of in that space. But I love that you're being honest and vulnerable about that space. So
Totally.
you now work with like the high achieving women who look successful, which I wish you guys knew how many there are. Okay. They look successful from the outside, but they are dysregulated internally. They don't have that coherence. Their nervous system is blasting. So, for the audience, listen, I do have a lot of boss babes on here that listen to the show. What are the signs that someone might be operating from survival mode, even though their life looks impressive?
Yeah, such a good question. And by the way, on your question earlier, we definitely can talk after
Yeah, right.
as well. But yeah, I think the survival mode piece can be really sneaky, because it really depends in terms of which part of your nervous system is activated. So it could be, for example, if you get a text and all of a sudden you start like creating all these stories about it, or really stressing out about the text and getting so frustrated in it, or something, a refund happens in your business, or just something goes wrong and you instantly kind of jump into this mode where you have to like push through, or you're getting really angry or whatever it might be. Like, that is one way to really know that you're in survival mode, or you're in that constant doing as well. If the thought of slowing down freaks you out, that's a big way to know. Also, if your thoughts are always going, like, we have a lot of energy in our body. And if it's not actually able to access our body, it just stays up in our head. So that's a good way to know if you're in survival mode, or you constantly have to be busy. And yeah, again, right, with that always doing, or you have all these ideas, but you're either implementing 1,000 of them, so you're not completing them, or you're not actually implementing any. And you actually feel like super overwhelmed all the time, and you can't take any action, and you know what you want to create, but it just feels too much as well. Or another form is your people pleasing, and you're, wanting to make sure everything's okay for everyone else, and you have a really hard time. I had really all of these, like, you had a really hard time sharing your own needs and setting boundaries and, saying what feels good for you, because you feel like, you'll ruffle a relationship or lose love. And so all of these ones are like such big ones. And I think even specifically for the boss babes, even though, I considered myself a boss babe and I had all of them, so they all really go for it, like for anyone. But really for the boss babes, it's kind of that. It's that mission mode too. Like, it's that, again, like I was saying, the high for accomplishing things, for doing things, like knowing that you feel like that kind of sense of importance when you go in a room and you can say different things, and anytime you're really putting on a mask and you're not fully sharing how you're truly feeling in that moment and like what's true for you, then the mask, right? That is survival. So that's a good way to think about it.
No, that's perfect. And the whole time I'm like, I want you guys to understand everything she's talking about. You're just performing. Like, you're not being who you really are. And I just want to say, like, I have six kids. I homeschool. I have four podcast shows. I do these things. There is not one part of me that ever has the energy to pretend to be someone I'm not. So, you know, people ask me all the time, how do you do everything you do? Well, partly because I don't have to pretend to be anybody else. And like the minute you guys make that shift and you show up as yourself without the people pleasing and you could just be, I think another red flag is like if you can't just be in a quiet room. Like
Totally.
my car, silence. Everybody else gets in and blasts the radio, like silence. I don't want to be on the phone. I don't want the music on. Like I just want it silent. And it's the same like in the mornings. I, you know, 30 minutes, no talking, nobody. Like I just want the silence. And if you cannot sit with yourself in a room and you have to have this on 24/7 or the TV on, you know, or background noise. And don't get me wrong, like I 100% the rest of the day have background noise. Okay. My brain just, I will function better if it's back there, but I could still sit with myself. But it's exhausting. It's exhausting to keep trying to be something for everybody and to try to hold up these relationships and these expectations. So that is a red flag. And something else you kind of said earlier when you were kind of talking about the origin story, you're kind of alluding to the difference between managing the success and receiving the success. Like people know how to grind and manage, you know? Like they know, even the people not doing it, they know exactly what needs to happen. But like, what does it actually mean to receive? Now that you're on the other side of it, we know you didn't know what it was like. So what is it like to actually receive the life that you've built?
Totally. I mean, it feels amazing, right? But for me, it took a lot to get here to this point. I think you brought up the heart and brain coherence. And I think that's a really big piece because for the longest time, I kept asking people, I'm like, but how do you get into your heart? How do you get into it? Like, I don't know. Everyone's talking about this thing, but, and it was really hard. And I think when you can start to really get into your heart and drop into it, that can really start to help with you actually receiving your life and letting it in. And a big one for me too was, you know, people talk about, right, ultimately why we want success is, or anything in life is because we think it's going to make us feel a certain way. And then we get there and we realize, probably with your book and stuff, that it doesn't, because we don't actually have the capacity to feel those emotions. And for me, joy was a big one. I physically couldn't feel it. If I would allow myself to feel joy for maybe like 5 seconds, a negative thought would come in or some worry would come in. And so I actually had to really build the capacity of, like you said, being in stillness, being in the moment. Like I'd be traveling, right? These amazing places. I actually had to build the capacity of staring at it, taking it all in, letting it fill up my body and feeling that joy and then starting to amplify it. And I like to tell people, you know, it's about almost building those micro moments in your system of, if today you can only sit there for 5 seconds before a negative thought or something pops up, then great. And don't judge it. And tomorrow, see if you could do six or maybe you do three, and just over time, like build that muscle to feel the way that you actually want success to feel and the way you actually like think your life is going to be, because doing that is actually going to allow you to receive. And another thing that was really big was slowing down. I mentioned a bit earlier, but the identity couldn't land. Even though everyone would tell me how successful I was, or on paper, I looked so successful, I didn't feel it at all. And it wasn't really until I slowed down and allowed my life, I allowed my achievements to catch up to me, that I was actually able to start to let it in into my body. And that I started to work through too, like the fear that came with being successful and the fear of, you know, the visibility or maybe what people would think or whatever it is, that I was able to start to, yeah, allow myself to relax more into it and to receive it. And I think for so many of us high achievers too, it's actually allowing yourself to celebrate.
Oh,
And right.
so tough, right?
And like giving yourself those micro moments of just letting it in throughout the day so you could start again to build that muscle of celebrating. So then when the big stuff comes, you actually have the capacity to celebrate and to let it in. And so those were, yeah, really big ones. And now it just, I mean, it's night and day from how it feels when you're kind of managing your business and your life to actually being able to receive that success.
No, I love that. And I think, you know, I think people don't understand. For one, I love that you're making it clear that it was practice. You know, you guys, Ashley didn't just wake up and say, "Ooh, I'm going to change my perspective," and a magic wand just came and like changed everything in her life. because everywhere you go, there you are. And that's what happens with success. Like you have to face your demons. That's what's going to happen. Like you have to face it. And so I think, understanding that it really is just a muscle,
100%.
a muscle. And that's, why it's important to do things like going to the gym, because you should know that discipline of like the work pays off, but it takes time. And once you see the proof and truth of that, then you start being able to flex that muscle with everything. Everything. And I think a lot of my listeners, because we do obviously attract who we are. So I think a lot of my people really can relate to the constant mental noise, like the replaying the conversations, the overanalyzing decisions, always anticipating problems. From the work that you've done, what is actually happening inside the nervous system when someone is living that way?
Totally. Yeah. So first off, I think it's really important that we all understand that this is actually our nervous system keeping us safe. It's protecting us through that. This isn't a bad thing that's happening or something negative. And when we can start to shift our relationship to it and start to almost appreciate what our nervous system is doing for us, it can start to dissipate as well, the thoughts. But ultimately, a lot of us throughout childhood, growing up, maybe even past life things, we learned that just being in our bodies wasn't safe. And so we had to disconnect in some way to go up into our heads and to keep all the energy up there. And we have a lot of energy because, again, we're used to the doing and the moving and all of that. And if we're not actually getting it out by moving our body in certain ways or by doing different practices, then it just stays all up here and in the head. And a lot of times too, it's again, we talk about that survival piece, it's control, right? It feels really good because that's how, maybe when we were younger, if we couldn't control certain situations, we learned, oh, but in my head, I can try to start to control them and that can actually make me feel safer because I feel like maybe I can change this thing that I can't change, but it actually allows you to feel safer. So, and we think a lot of the situations that we're analyzing, right? Our mind is literally set up to survive, not to thrive, just to help us survive and not die. So we think a lot of the situations happening in our life are really gonna kill us, which subconsciously, which we don't realize. So the mind is just, again, trying to protect you, trying to figure out those situations, how to get out of it. And, when we can start to realize this, we can start to work with it. But really just seeing, why we're doing this, right? We're doing this because we think it keeps us safe. It's helping us, again, figure out the situation and navigate it. Because we think we can, the mind also, it thinks everything is happening in the now. So anything, it doesn't realize that it happened in the past, that it happened 5 years ago, that, it's happening in the future, whenever it is. So it's still thinking that you're in that. And so that's why as well, we can constantly keep spinning, in it. And I'm trying to remember the exact direction you asked me with this question as
You
well.
did great. You did. You nailed it. It's perfect. So I have a relationship podcast too, and I'm constantly saying like, you guys just have to remember you're on the same team. Like nothing you do is to hurt each other, right? You're on the same team, no matter what. And if you can always agree on that, you're going to be able to work through everything. Nothing's intentional, and it is the same thing with your brain. Like we are so loved beyond measure, and we were created so perfectly from that infinite love. Like it is impossible to explain in words what that sounds like. And the minute you guys can realize and just take a deep breath and be like, okay, listen, no one's out to get me. I'm not under attack. It's just it's a little warning sign. It's data. It's data. It's not your programming. You can rewire everything. But I am just a fanatic for neuroplasticity anyway. So I think that's all just a part of it. You spent 7 years studying things like the somatics, subconscious patterns, and identity work. For someone who's never heard those terms before, because I don't think I've ever actually talked about somatics or identity work here, they've never heard that stuff. What does that kind of work look like in real life?
Yeah, so there's different ways that you can do this work, but really somatics is anything that has to do with the body. So oftentimes you might hear about mindset work or different types of talk therapy, things like that. But really, somatics is where we're completely integrating the body into any healing, into your day to day, and working with the body. There's an amazing book, The Body Keeps the Score, and the body really holds everything in our life. It holds all of our triggers, kind of all of our stuck energies. It remembers everything. And so oftentimes we might not know why all of a sudden we tense up in a situation or why we feel a certain way, but it's because our body is remembering something and reacting from the past. And so when we can actually get start to work with the body, we don't even need to know and understand in the mind, but we can really start to create deep shifts that way. And so there's different ways that you can do somatics, but it always works in the body. And then identity work is really like, who are we, right? How are we actually identifying as a person? Are we seeing ourselves as that next level version of ourselves? Are we identifying as the version who is successful and allowing ourselves to get that way? Or are we, again, is our identity not aligning? Are we stuck in a past identity? A lot of us are operating as kids, just in adult bodies. We have a lot of parts running around. And it's how, who are we, the majority of the time? How do we really, and how do we see ourselves? Tony Robbins says, no matter what, a person will fight the hardest to keep their identity. So how do you see yourself? So if you see yourself as someone who's that boss babe, who's that go, go, go hustler, it's going to be really hard. It can potentially be, and it took me years to work through all of this, to shift your identity to being okay without that. Or however we define ourselves, if we see ourselves as lazy and all of a sudden there's this big opportunity you want to take advantage of, you might pass it up because you see yourself as lazy. So identity work is really working with the different ways we see ourselves and the different parts, and then allowing us to, decide who it is we want to be and integrate the pieces of us.
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm curious about this part of your story. When you start regulating your nervous system and reconnecting with your body, did the way you approached how did the way you approach your business change? I know it changed. So I guess like explain to the listeners how what it looked like.
Yeah, totally. So it changed so much. And I think one thing just to add about the mind conversation is our mind thinks, right? It's constantly scanning for threats. It thinks that we have like lions and tigers coming after us all the time. And so when we can actually start to, right, work with our mind and realize that that's not what's happening, which is how I was acting in my business, right? There were constantly all these threats coming at us because, again, it's the primitive mind. But when I actually started to get into my body, I mean, the first time that I really dropped into my body was life-changing for me because it showed me, it was like, whoa, I could actually feel this way. I could approach the world this way and like feel this grounded. And it gave me so much possibility. And when we're operating from our heads, we constantly have these, again, these stories we're creating. We're creating things from the past. So there's all these stresses that we're seeing. We talked about a lot of things, right? Where what, and you guys know, I'm sure, what happens when you operate from your head. But when you operate from your body, for me, it changed everything because so much of that noise just didn't matter. And so much of the problems that I was creating, the stress, the survival, the whack-a-mole that I mentioned, it just wasn't a thing. And I can feel the difference when I'm in my head versus in my body. And when I guide my clients into their bodies too, it's like all of a sudden, all that stuff you're worried about, it feels like you've accessed so much potential. Like none of that matters. You know, you have clarity towards the situation you want to handle. You're grounded. You can just move and really, move from your heart, from your body, and really towards your mission without things being so caught up in all those pieces. And you can get such a clear signal to your intuition, to, messages from of what you're actually supposed to be doing instead of, again, all those voices in your head. And it can just make you feel so much more grounded and confident in what you're doing. So for me, with all of that in my business, it just became so much more enjoyable and so much more, it was like such a different way to lead in my business too. Because it was just, I had so much more clear direction and way of assessing things. And if I was overwhelmed or if a trigger came up, instead of riding that whole spiral, I would just be able to drop into my body, regulate, and then from that clear place, then decide how I want to move forward, which made a huge difference. And I could actually feel. So I could actually feel what was happening. And instead of staying stuck in the stories all the time, I could feel how I felt and start to process it and move through. And then I could allow myself to feel that joy, feel, the life I've created and feel really like where I want to go as well.
I think, I mean, that's amazing. And I'm so excited for you, first of all. Like I just am in awe. Your energy is palpable. Like it's tangible. It's incredible. And you're incredibly well spoken. I Do you have a podcast? Because I'm like, she needs a show. I would listen to it. Okay. And I don't listen to podcasts to be the podcaster who does not listen to podcasts. But so a lot of people are afraid that if they slow down or they step out of hustle mode, that everything's going to collapse. Do you have a tip for listeners right now? Like a little tip for them to get a glimpse of what it would be like if they could get into their body to just kind of change that mental, that story.
Definitely. So I think a big piece is really, well, one, I'd be happy to, I don't know if this is feasible, but to offer a body scan to your audience. I do have a free one, if so, where people can really try to, we can really practice getting into their bodies. But a great way is just really, again, we feel that way out of survival. We feel that way because we're operating in our heads and what we know. But really just getting into like, in tune with your heart, just putting your hand over your heart and asking yourself, what do I need in this moment? And allowing that to guide you. So if your brain is thinking, oh my gosh, if I slow down, it like everything's gonna fall apart, but your heart and your body is telling you to rest or to give yourself a hug, or when you're freaking out about that things are gonna collapse, but you ask, like you connect with yourself, you take a few breaths and you ask yourself, like, am I okay? And you get a yes, then just constantly like reminding yourself that you are okay and really building that relationship with yourself is going to be such a big piece. Because ultimately, when we don't feel like we have our backs, right, which I get, I beat myself up for years and it still happens as well. But when we can really know that we can trust ourselves, that we got ourselves, then we can start to build that capacity and that trust to know that if we slow down, we'll be okay because no matter what, we have our backs as well.
Right. And I mean, this is perfect what you're saying right now, to have our backs, because who is our worst enemy? Who's our
Us.
worst enemy? It is us every single time. No one is going to hurt Brandon more than Brandon has hurt Brandon, and people have tried. So I'm just saying it's not even possible. But
Thank
oh my gosh, you just totally validated me, because I'm like, do I need somatics, right? I'm listening because I'm like, I don't know if I've ever really focused on the body thing, but everything you're saying, I'm so proud. I'm patting myself on the back because I've leaned into that a lot and I didn't realize that's what I was doing. So kudos to
Amazing.
Brandon, but I'm gonna take your test, you guys. So I am gonna share things in the show notes, but before we wrap up today and she and Ashley shares all of her things, I have another question. When you look back at the version of yourself who had the business, the travel, the success, but like couldn't feel any of it, what do you wish you would have known sooner? The one thing you could have told yourself.
One thing. Okay. I think there's two things actually that I'm gonna go with is one is that this isn't actually who you are. I think for so long I thought that I was all these roles that I was playing, all these things that I had been told by society, by people, by friends, by people that didn't like me, by whoever, that that's who I was. And I let allow that to define myself and make me feel really icky about myself. And then when I started doing this deeper work, I really realized like, no, those are just little parts of me that are scared and that are acting out. And that actually has nothing to do with who I really am. And it gave me so much freedom to actually figure out like who I am and to have the agency that no matter what anyone else says, I know who that is, and to show up in that way and to really work with my parts. And that has been so transformational, and it changed my whole relationship to myself and the success that I had. And then realizing like the achiever, the one who needs to always be doing all of that, those are just parts that feel safe doing that. But again, it's not who I am. And so that was really powerful. And I think also just really knowing that like nothing I'm chasing is going to give me the inner peace that I'm really desiring, and that ultimately what matters the most out of anything, which relates to what I just shared, is how I feel about myself and the inner peace that I can cultivate. And you know, that I could keep chasing or trying to please people or doing all the things that I was doing, but that actually wasn't going to like make me feel fulfilled. I don't even want to use the word happy because, you know, we're meant to experience a whole range of emotion, but it wasn't actually going to like give me what I thought that it was going to do. And really, and like all of that success, it's not, unless I could actually, again, know who I am within it, it was never going to fulfill me in the way that I thought it would. So really building that relationship with myself first.
I love both of those things, and I think it was perfect to kind of wrap everything up because we are, everybody thinks that happiness is outside of them. That next feeling or that next thing, that's why people are consumers. That's why they're constantly buying something, because you just want to feel something. And I feel like if everyone could just slow down, number one, because you're talking about the parts of us too. So you think about, the versions of yourself that have gotten you through life, love them through the breakup, right? Like I've had to love myself. I still do sometimes. Like I'm like, my mom signs her rights off on me when I was 12. And I find myself like, I've been a scrappy kid forever, and I'm like, hey, we're not 12 anymore. You did what you had to do. At 15, I emancipated on my own as a ward of the state. So a lot of me is 15, and I catch her coming back. I'm like, girl, you did your job. Like you did it, but you could just sit down now. Like the grown-up has to be here now, So I love yourself through those parts, and also realize, nothing outside of you is ever going to make you feel good, ever. It's just not. And it's the biggest misconception of success, and the fact that everyone just flaunts the monies and the cars and the houses. And honestly, I'm sick of it. So I am so happy you came here with like a real story. This has just been an incredible conversation. Tell everybody how they can find you, and I'll make sure whatever links we have are in the show notes. How they find you, how they could work with you.
Great. So the best place to find me is on Instagram, and my handle is Oh the Places Ash Goes, hence all the travel. And then also, I'll offer that free body scan, like I shared, so you guys can all really practice getting into your bodies. And then I have a quiz as well to see which version of you is running your business or your life, both synonymous. And we talked a lot about the different survival patterns and nervous system states. And so this quiz will really illuminate which one is your main state that you're operating from. And then I'll also give you in the results different ways that you can start to shift it to really create the life and feel the success and create the success as well that you're desiring from a place that's really fully you and that allows you to actually feel good as well.
That is fabulous. You guys, make sure you check the show notes and don't miss an opportunity to follow her, get resourced. I love when someone is willing to talk honestly about success and what it actually looks like behind the scenes, not just the highlight reel. For everyone listening, you guys, if this conversation resonated with you, if you're someone who has a story, a perspective, or a message that could actually help people, okay, podcasting is probably one of the most powerful ways to share it. And that's exactly why I created a podcast support group on Facebook. Okay, it's a space for people who have a podcast or are thinking about it. We talk about all the things. Okay. I want you to get your voice out there. Please make sure you share this show. Leave a review. Stars are cool, but it takes less than 2 minutes to leave a comment, and that's how someone else hears this show. And I know you guys know someone that needs this conversation. Okay. I know you do. And until next time, you guys keep showing up, keep telling the truth. And remember, sometimes the thing that you've lived through is exactly what has qualified you to help someone else. Thank you again so much, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so great.